Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to do something today that I've only done a couple of times here at Chicago Bulls Central, and that's we're going to do a, you know what really grinds my gear episode? We're going to do some of the biggest and utter narrative things around the Bulls fandom right now that has been popping up over the last couple of months, and why grinds my gears. We're going to talk a little bit about that, plus Nikola Vucevic lays out a Eurobasket challenge to Modest Bouzelis, and we're going to dive into the mailbag. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And man, we are going to start off this episode with something I've only, I think, done twice. And now, for those that watch me consistently knows that I've talked about these things kind of littered in there, but a dedicated kind of segment to things in the Bulls sphere, fan base, whatever you want to call it, and conversation points that people talk about that, like, not to say that they aren't based in something logical, but a lot of these are just silly, right? So the first one that I want to talk off about here is the Bulls can't pay Josh Giddey based on only 30 games. Now, the reason why this one is top at the list is because it's one of the more foolish things that people have said. Because if you legitimately, and this is just real talk, right? We'll get into the minutia of it. If you legitimately think the Bulls or any NBA team is paying a player based off a small sample size, it's stupid. I mean, just to be frank, and the way that I always respond to this when people say this type of thing is that it's like, okay, so when you sign a free agent, what are you basing it off of? You're basing it off of what they've done, the role that you project them to have, and how well you feel that they're going to play on your team. Now, this isn't to get into what the Bulls should or should not pay. It's just that simple. Like, that is such a lazy talking point for people, right? Like, and that is such a lazy talking point because even if you want to have the conversation on, hey, the Bulls should only pay Josh Giddey $20 million, and here's why. Having a thought process of, well, you know, this is the areas that I feel concerned about him. The half-court offense, is the shooting going to continue? The defensive liability part of it. That is having an actual conversation. The laziest conversation that you can have, the laziest talking point is, oh, yeah, the Bulls shouldn't be paying him because you can't only pay him based off 30 games. It's objectively stupid is what it is. If that is your main talking point and why the Bulls should not pay Josh Giddey, whatever the amount of money you feel they should not pay him is, it's stupid. Now, you could say, again, I just said, there's legitimate reasons. You can talk about, all right, well, when we get to the playoffs, what is he going to do? What's happened in the playoffs before? Or the defense? How much of that defensive liability do we have to overcome that with another player? Thus, you cannot pay him this much because guess what? We're going to have to pay another $15 million a player to help overcome some of your shortcomings defensively. Those are actual talking points. I'm not expecting everybody to get into the weeds of heavy analytics and all that type of stuff, but it's such a lazy point to say, oh, well, you can't just pay him based off 30 games. It's stupid. A, first of all, he played more than 30 games here. That's the first part of it. And secondly, you are going to look at any NBA team when they are signing somebody or looking at what they've done in other places, what they project and how they project to use them and the role that they're going to have for your team. That is what you're paying a player for. And that is what you negotiate around. But to just say, oh, you can't pay Josh Giddey because of 30 games is such a lazy and dumbass piece of logic that it's silly. The next one, oh, you can't keep Kobe around. Kobe's only a sixth man. First of all, not only do you not look at the reality of what Kobe and how Kobe scores, which isn't just a sixth man. Now, you could say, oh, Kobe can't be the main primary scorer on a championship team. Cool, great. If that's your talking point that you want to have from that, that's amazing. But go and look at some of the starters on NBA championship rosters, and you'll find that almost every one of those rosters has a player that's not as good as Kobe on it. And so Kobe isn't this. People have such. It's just like when people try to compare Kobe White and Ben Gordon just because they're guards that can shoot. They're totally, completely different players. That's the first and foremost thing. Secondly, even if you look at scoring and where Kobe White's scoring rate has been per the minutes and per the shots, it'll tell you that it's more than a six-man production. Now, I'd say this, if you have a player like Kobe and he's your six-man coming off the bench, oh, God. I mean, at that point in time, your team it definitely better be a goddamn starting caliber or championship team. But for Kobe, who was already, I believe, in the top third of the league in scoring last year, and that was with part of the year starting off with Zach LaVine still being on this roster and what we know what Nikola Vucevic can be. If Kobe even just pushes up, this is how silly that logic is. If Kobe just scores one more basket a game on average, just one more basket a game, or gets one extra trip to the free throw line a game because there's two shots at the free throw line, Kobe would literally move from being 31st in the league in scoring all the way up into the top 20 in scoring with one basket. That is more than just six-man production. It's a lazy argument for if people want to have the other argument with saying that, all right, well, how good is your team if Kobe's your primary scorer, which, again, is a legitimate talking point. But to say that, oh, Kobe's just a six-man, any other team is going to be a six-man, no, you're not. And if you look at all the players, again, Kobe White's 31st in the league in scoring with just one more bucket. He goes up into 22nd. How many of those players are coming off the bench? Guess what? Zero of them. Again, I repeat, zero. None. There's none. None in that. So it's such, again, it's just one of those things that's a lazy argument and talking point, and one that's easily debunked just by looking at the league. So that's what you have to, again, have to look at. Again, not to say that there isn't a legitimate conversation that if people want to have around, all right, should Kobe be a primary scorer or not? That's a legitimate conversation. But Kobe's a six-man. Jamal Crawford, Ben Gordon, they aren't even similar. So that's the thing that you have to look at it with. Next, games in March don't matter. Now, this is something that popped up because of the Bulls' stretch. And it's stupid for a couple of different reasons. One, I believe, and somebody please stop and correct me if I'm wrong here, is March going to be in your schedule every single year? Yeah, I believe the NBA is always going to play basketball in March. So that right there, first off, means that March basketball, even if you view it as this thing where, well, you know, some teams are not necessarily playing the best or getting ready for the playoffs. Some teams are jockeying for a position, and there you go. But at the end of the day, March is always going to be March basketball. So even if you look at that part as saying, oh, it's a weaker part of the schedule, which again, the Bulls have that's one of their most difficult stretches this upcoming year, 25-26, is the month of March. Even if you look at it that way, guess what? It's still going to always be on the schedule, meaning that even if you look at it as a weaker part of the schedule, it's always going to be there, meaning that then you could still take advantage of that. So there you go in that one. We got two more. One, the next one. Bulls should let everyone that isn't a star walk. This is the most idiotic logic that I've seen from any fan in any fan base in anything. It's dumb. First of all, let's just talk about how the salary cap works, which people don't seem to understand. First of all, you have to spend to a minimum. This isn't where you can just, oh, let's just not pay anybody. Because nobody's a star, we're just going to pay, you know, bad players and we're going to take. You have to spend to a certain level, right? You have to spend to a floor. Therefore, there are always going to be players. Every team has a player that's getting paid between 20 and 30 million, multiples of those. So you're going to have that regardless. And if you go and look at, for example, people use that with Kobe or whatever else. If you go and look at some of the other players that legitimately, let's say that the Bulls could have a chance to sign, that would legitimately come here, you're not spending less money. And a lot of those guys aren't going to be much better than what Kobe White is, for example. And again, it's just stupid logic. And it's built around this thought process that tanking is more effective than what it is. If you look at the way that it's trending, the teams that have won the number one overall pick have had between 36 and 39 wins, I believe. Now, 39, I think maybe Atlanta had more like 36. So maybe it's like 35 to 36 wins. So therefore, we're seeing that with the flattened lottery odds now, it's starting to reward teams that actually are there. Now, of course, when you have the worst record, you can only drop so far into the lottery. And that's a legitimate thing. But again, those teams still, guess what? have players on it that are getting paid over $30 million or between 20 and 25, upwards maybe of $30 million in some cases, right? So there's that part of it. Again, a talking point that could be a legitimate talking point, but people use the lazy version of that to not even actually have a conversation based around what they're trying to do. And then lastly, the thing that really grinds my gears with Bulls fandom is the Bulls fans that complain and say that the Bulls suck, but then say that the Bulls need to send everybody off to be a lottery team. If the Bulls suck as bad as what you say they are, right? These are the people that are like, oh, well, the Bulls are going to be lucky to win 30 games. If you feel that they're that bad, that means you feel like they're going to have pretty good lottery odds, right? But then you say things like, oh, but we still need to get rid of everybody else so we can bottom out even more. Which one is it? Do you think the Bulls suck? Right. And I'm not saying people that are saying that, oh, well, the Bulls are just going to be a playing team again. No, that's legitimate. I'm saying that the thing that, oh, well, this team sucks. They have absolutely no future. This team is terrible. They'll be lucky to win 30 games. But so we can get in the lottery, we got to make sure that we let everybody walk. The hell is wrong with you? Like that's my thought. What the hell is wrong with you? But again, those are just some of the topics. I'm sure I can have another 10 topics of things that grind my gear. And you know what? This is probably the most old man episode that I've had, and I'm embracing it. Unk status. With that said, let's move into the next topic. Nikola Vucevic laid out a challenge for Modest Bouzelis, who's not playing in Eurobasket, and he says this. I was trying to convince him to play. I thought it would have been a really good for him to get some FIBA basketball experience, to play in Eurobasket, and to practice against all the other players from Lithuania every day. It would have been great for him. The NBA and FIBA are very different games, and I think especially good for young players to experience both and learn from them. I think it would have helped him a lot. I think it would have been valuable just to play in big games. I think he has a very bright future in the NBA and hopefully also the Lithuanian national team. For whatever reason, though, he decided not to play this summer. Now, I love that Vooch is trying to motivate the young guy. And I do think, while I'll say this, the gap between the NBA basketball and international basketball, it shrinks every single year. But there's still a pretty sizable gap there, right? But I do think having reps against actual players that are competing for something, regardless of how you feel about the level of competition, these are players that are putting their all in to compete in Eurobasket. There is something to be said about how that can help, and we've seen it jumpstart player seasons and how they can come into the season with ready to go, geared in, geared up, ready, because they've gone through that international. We've seen it with teams in the Olympic play, players in the Olympic play, and things like that. So I love that Vooch is motivating him. But I'm also the guy that just said, I was happy that Noah Essengay was kind of more focused in staying in Chicago, working in the Advocate Center, getting up his physicality, getting ready for the NBA game, because he is going to have to adjust the physicality. So I understand as well, Modest working with the trainers at the Advocate Center, staying here in Chicago, going through that process and gearing up and getting ready for a season. I understand that part, you know, for Vooch to say that, you know, he did, for whatever reason, decided not to come this summer. But I do hope that Modest does do some international basketball at some point. And I do think there's a little bit maybe of a disconnect, because while he is Lithuanian, 100% Lithuanian, he was born and raised here in the United States. I believe he was born here in the United States, but I know he primarily grew up and was raised here in the United States for sure. So because of that, I do think, you know, that it makes some sense for Modest to you know, have the attachment to stay here. He gets to work out in Chicago, all those type of things. He does have dual citizenship. So, I do see that as a thing.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at thing, where, and he was born in Chicago, by the way, so I just fact checked that. I do see that as a opportunity for him to play some international ball, and we'll see what he does in the future, you know, and hopefully he does get those opportunities. But it is Saturday. That means it is mailbag day. Let's go ahead and get into these voicemails for today, man. This first one, this one's from Soul.
What's good, Hayes? This is your boy Soul calling from Toledo, Ohio. Want to say, man, what's up to the whole crew? You know what I'm saying? Bulls Central, much love. Much respect for everything y'all do. I want to get on a whole Josh Giddey thing. Trust me, like, I love Josh Giddey on this team. But when it comes to the whole contract thing and the holdout, with the Bulls, I don't have a problem. Because when you look at the other, I guess those are restricted agents for the other teams. Most of the players are teams that been with their team for years. Like the whole, you know, Jonathan Kuminga. Old boy from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Just to name a few. But those are people who've been with their team. With Josh, he only been with us for 1 year. And not to say we're going off of what he did before, because to my understanding, he was a decent player at OKC, just with the one bad experience. You know, and it happens to, you know, quite a few players. So I don't have a problem with the Bulls holding out to try to get him. Why would you not try to hold out? To, like, hey, if we can get you for what we want you at our price, why would you not? You know, I think they realized, like you said before, the mistake like they made with Patrick Williams. And to go forward with that, I don't think that I personally don't believe they're going to have this same problem with Kobe and Io, because they've been with us. They know, you know, they know their value and they know what it's going to be. Like, you might try to get them for a little bit lower price, but, you know, I think they'd be a little bit more willing to work with them because you've been in our system. You know, the league is like, hey, what have you done for me lately? And even though Josh had a decent year, it's like, hey, you didn't spend 3-4 years with us. You spent a season. In the beginning of the season, you was coming off an injury and you wasn't at your best in the beginning. So that's why I really don't have a problem with the Bulls is doing. Like, hey, I think if he end up taking, like, you know, a 22 or something with 4 years, or a 20 with some synthesis, getting them up to, or however you say it, you know, when you're able to get a little bit more off a 3 or 4 year deal, I think that would be perfect. But we're waiting to see how it plays out. But that's all I pretty much wanted to say today, man. Peace to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Go Bulls, see red. Holla at you. So.
The Bulls, you know, basically playing hardball. I think you used the word holdout, but more hardball with Josh Giddey's contract. And I've said this before, and it's triggered Josh Giddey's fans. Like, if you can get a player for less, basically every team in the NBA is going to try to get that player for less. You're going to, and I do think you're going to see restricted free agency used more similar to this in situations where there's not a lot of teams that have a free agent to try to give your player an offer sheet. Now, I do think of this for all the guys, not even Josh Giddey, for Cam Thomas, Jonathan Kuminga, Quentin Grimes, of course, Josh Giddey, that it's gone too far at this point. Like, we're less than a month away from training camp opening. And so I do think it's gone a little bit too far in that, but you know, that is negotiable. We can't say that we want the Bulls to actually start negotiating, and then when they do, we complain that they negotiated. Now, I will say this, that if it does get to the point where this does alienate Josh Giddey, then, you know, that's going to be a problem that you have to deal with in the future. But, you know, for those that think, oh, well, Josh Giddey's just going to take the qualifying, there's a reason why none of these guys have taken the qualifying offer. Because I think all of them and the agents realize the risk that's involved with taking the qualifying offer is not just about the monetary value. It's about what that means for the team that your players are going to have to play on next year and what their role could be for that team. And then also what it means for how difficult, if anything goes left, how difficult that works. And it's easy just to say players should bet on themselves, but you got to think about this. Like, regardless of how durable you view Josh Giddey to be, let one major injury happen, and especially the timing of that happening, and it could completely tank anything potentially. And that's for all these guys. And I think that's why you see these guys not yet take the qualifier. It's getting close, though. I think as it gets closer and closer to the deadline, it has maybe more of a chance to happen. But, you know, we'll see what happens out there. Great voicemail there. So, all right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? It's Shay. Look, I was sitting back thinking, and a lot of people were complaining about the schedule being hard and all that shit, but I look at it as this, at the beginning of the season, but I look at it like this. If you, when you stop and think about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these teams that we going to be playing at the beginning of the season didn't really see us when we were before the Zach LaVine trade, or before we actually figured some things out. I know the Detroit Pistons 9 times out of 10 didn't, you know. And I think with our breakneck speed and fast-paced offense, we're going to be able to mix it up and surprise a lot of people. Remember, we surprised a lot of good teams last year when in the second half of the season, especially when we, you know, teams like the Nuggets, teams like, you know what I'm saying? I think, and again, I know this for a fact, we won the season series against the New York Knicks. So, again, I'm not saying that, oh, well, it's going to be a cakewalk, but I believe that we could possibly surprise the league with some of these games. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to look at it as, oh, these teams are gathered in the playoffs. Yeah, but we've beaten a lot of playoff teams, you know, such as, you know, the New York Knicks and, you know, and we've also beaten the Detroit Pistons, just to name a few. But I believe that we can possibly shock the league and I'm not wording this right, but I believe we could possibly surprise those people by how many games we could win in the beginning. But that's just me. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
Yeah, I definitely think the Bulls are going to, you know, barring major injuries and things like that, the Bulls are going to win more games than people are predicting. I think what ESPN predicted the Bulls to finish 11th in the Eastern Conference, that's not going to happen. I think, you know, they were also predicted to win, like, what, 33 games? That's not going to happen. The Bulls always are above predictions for them. And I think that really shows like how the doubt around this team, the doubt around the talent or coaching or the front office, whatever it is. But for what it's worth, they go over their predictions and what's predicted for them every single year. Now, the question is how much can they do above that this year? I'm the guy that's gone on record that I think the Bulls can be a 500 team this year. And I stick by that prediction that they can be that. We got to see how things are going to work out for this team. And again, injuries and stuff play a part into that also. But we'll see what happens with this team. This is a team that has some fight. This is a team that has some balance. And this is a team that the chemistry that they finished last season with, to me, I can't wait to see if that continues into this year. And so they're an intriguing team for me coming into 25-26. And I can't wait to get to play with my to get to watch this team play and see what they're going to get to do. So there you go on that one. All right, let's get into the last voicemail for today, man. This one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald calling about the rumors for Zion Williamson. And while I don't like the idea of having another guy with lower body issues on this team, because after we've dealt with Lonzo, but depending on what that package looks like, I wouldn't be offended by it. And the truth is, I don't really want to give up any draft capital for Zion because, like I said, you can't expect him to play more than 30 games in a regular season. And even if you do make the playoffs, it's questionable what his weight going to be like when he gets there. And he might have had a knee or ankle issue and put on 30 pounds during the year. And now he's coming into, you know, in the Bulls' case, the player, you know, at almost 300 pounds. Now, if you're telling me that the Bulls are going to trade Roots, he will, and Javon Carter for Zion, with no pick involved, I consider it, not because those are the Bulls' throwaways, but because Zion has clauses in his contract which allows you to move off of him if he doesn't come in shape or some other issues, which allows you to instead of having him for another 3 years, you could just be off him and, you know, at the end of the season. So for me, I look at Zion as a, you know, a potential expiring contract, which frees you up, at least what you're paying Patrick Williams every year. So that's what the thing to think about. But would I put Zion on this team? You know, you play him with, you know, Jalen Smith, you know, Kevin Herter, Kobe White, Josh Giddey in your starting lineup, maybe. But, yeah, I think it'll be a fun team, but it's just not a winning team. And at this point, I want the Bulls to have a winning team.
Now, Reggie did leave this voicemail, I think, like, over a week ago, and I didn't use it because he had another voicemail that he used. It was one of those weeks where there was a lot of voicemails. But I came back to this because I was just in a conversation in the Discord in regards to Zion Williamson and the risk of trading for him. Now, I don't think the trade that you put in there, Vooch and Javon Carter, for it's never going to happen. They're going to want picks back for Zion Williamson. If they were willing to just send off Zion for anything, I think that's the misconception. People have this conception that, oh, they're just gonna look to dump off a Zion. They're just trying to get out that deal. They're gonna sell him off cheap. That was the same thing people said around the Rudy Gobert trade. I remember when that summer popped up and people were like, the Bulls should trade for Rudy Gobert because you can get him cheap. You're not gonna get him cheap. They're still looking for some type of, to extract some type of value out of that, whether that's another young promising piece or whether that's future draft capital. They're gonna do that, and that's where I'm not necessarily in. If you can get Zion while keeping most of your core, most teams in the NBA would do that, and then I still think that other teams would have better offers than what the Chicago Bulls could make. So, you know, that's what it comes to. Zion is a risk, and he's an injury risk. Now, his contract does offer the chance to get out of it every single summer, which is great, but you still got to match that contract to move it. You still got to give up some type of asset to get him back in a trade, and that's where it goes into the place to where it's not necessarily worth it for the Bulls for me. But and I don't think it's going to happen anyway, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. I think if the Pelicans make Zion available, there's going to be one team or some team that's desperate enough to give up something that I don't think the Bulls are either in a position to give up or could match. And I just think that that's probably what how the Pelicans are going to play with that. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. If you send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and or voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.